Welcome, Les. It's wonderful to have you here with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Lane.
How did you meet Detective Sergeant Matthews and begin working on the book? How did you get started?
Almost by accident. I was on my way to catch an airplane on a book tour for The Man Who Invented Christmas, and Mitchell Kaplan called, Mitchell Kaplan of Books and Books here in Miami, and said, "I've got your next book. You've got to talk to this guy." I said, "Mitchell, I'm going to catch a plane." He said, "Take a half an hour and meet Joe Matthews," and thank God I did. That's what happened. That's how it was.
Yeah, we've had Mitchell as a guest, as in his role as one of the founders of the Miami International Book Fair. So how did Adam's story draw you in at this point in time?
Joe Matthews pointed out, he told me that there was going to be a big press conference. This was in early December of 2008. He said it was coming up in 10 days that they were going to announce the closing of the case of Adam Walsh after 27 years. And I said, "Why?" And he handed me, slid across the table, a big, thick report. And he said, "Well, the answer's in here. I finished up a 2.5-year investigation. The Hollywood police and the Broward District Attorney's Office reviewed it, and they have decided that we now know who kidnapped and killed Adam Walsh, and they're going to announce a press conference and call a press conference to announce that fact to the world."
How did Detective Matthews actually meet the Walshes? And I understand they asked him to look at the case again and finally find a resolution?
That's right. He had been on the case on loan from the Miami Beach Police Department from the very beginning. He was a polygraph expert and had seen how the case was going and tried to alert some of the superiors in the chain of command to what he thought was going wrong. And, of course, it was the old, "We don't need you. Go on back to your big city cop." And one way and another, over the course of 25 years, he kept being pulled back in and then kicked off the case. And in 2006, the Walshes had gone to Washington to lobby for the Adam Walsh Child Protection Act. And a reporter stood up and said, "Mr. and Mrs. Walsh, you're to be congratulated for all the fine work you've done on behalf of missing and endangered children. And Mr. Walsh, you've caught any number of heinous criminals as a result of America's Most Wanted. But tell me, does it ever bother you that in all this time you've been unable to find out who murdered your own son?" Well, it was Walsh managed to not to leap off the podium and strangle this guy. But afterwards, Mrs. Walsh said, "I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear that question ever again. If I have to hire a detective out of the Yellow Pages, I want someone to look into this and prove what we think we know." And John Walsh said, "Well, you don't have to hire anybody out of the Yellow Pages. There's Joe Matthews, who had gone to work after he retired in the 1990s as an investigator for America's Most Wanted, because they saw him for the competent cop he was over the course of years in trying to investigate their son's death." And Mrs. Walsh asked Joe to investigate the case. He agreed immediately, and, well, the result is why we're here today.
Can you give us some of the background of the detective? I mean, what was his personal history, his work?
He was a detective sergeant for the Miami Beach Police Department for 29 years and was really a super cop. He is the cop, the detective, who solved the Baby Lollipops case, probably the most heinous child murder in Dade history, and the case of Dieter Reichman, who was found guilty of murdering his wife, blaming it on rioters in Overtown at the time. And any number, he oversaw more than 2,000 murder investigations, so he knows the business, and he's got this energy. He's like the Energizer Bunny. Wind him up and just get out of the way, because he keeps going until he has got his man.
How involved were the Walshes in the writing of your book, or the preparation that you did to write the book?
Well, it really is not the Walshes' story as much as it is Joe Matthews' story. It's the story of how he managed to overcome all these obstacles all along the years. And, of course, the Walshes figure in, and they were quite cooperative. They'll be going out with Joe here in just a little bit to help promote the book. They're all for it. But really, it was a case of me sitting down with Joe Matthews and then with some of the case files and doing some ancillary interviews to tell his story and put it into a context so that people could appreciate the magnitude, it's more than just the story of a police procedural. This is a story about how a crime changed the world. You know, before Adam Walsh disappeared, there were no children on milk cartons, no Amber Alerts, no child database, no Center for Missing and Endangered Children. This case and the Walsh's efforts made all that happen. It has changed the world.
How did Detective Matthews close the case? I mean, if you can just share a little bit about that.
Well, he amassed a huge tapestry of work. It's not like television where a guy bends over a corpse with his magnifying glass and says, aha. But in fact, Joe went through 10,000 pages of case files and for the first time drew up a chronology of events and evidence gathered over the years that pointed toward one man, Otis Toole, as the culprit. And then the culmination was his discovery of a stack of photos that had languished moldering in a file for more than a quarter of a century. No one had ever developed this photographic blood evidence that more or less proves, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, what happened. I can't describe it as fully, as they say, you got to read the book.
You've got to read the book. And the 27 years, I mean, was it just incompetence from the police department in Hollywood, Florida, or?
Well, it was. It was a small town department in over its head. The lead detective, in Joe's opinion, made some pretty serious mistakes, and his immediate coterie made some pretty serious mistakes there at the outset that sent them off down the wrong track, and it's very hard to come back. They weren't willing to come back. Superiors, after a while, began to cover up what they recognized as mistakes, and then finally it became indifference. It had happened so long ago, the attitude was, Walsh's, go away, you've got other children, you're famous, please leave us alone, until Chad Wagner came along at Hollywood, now the chief, and said, you know, we do need to take another look at this, and that made all the difference.
Hmm. Well, on a totally different topic, your university just received a major grant from the Knight Foundation for creative writing. Can you tell us about that and how it's going to impact your work there?
Well, I think that's terrific. The Knight Foundation is, to get something from them really is a badge of honor. Campbell McGrath, my colleague, was instrumental in making it happen. And it really does put the university and the program out there in a way that never has been before. Specifically, it's going to allow us to bring in some of the very best and brightest that we literally might not have the funds to support otherwise. So we're really excited about this. We think it's going to make a big difference, and we're going to bring some interesting people down to the program and to Miami.
Back to the book for one moment. When it comes out next month, correct?
March 1st.
Okay. Are you going on a book tour? And if so, what cities?
We're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to New York City. We're going to be in Charlotte, Jackson, Mississippi, Oxford, Mississippi, Blytheville, Arkansas, Memphis, all around Florida. We're going to be on the Today Show, Nightline, The View, many more.
Okay.
USA Today is doing a feature, and you name it.
Wow. Well, we will look for it. Thanks so much for being here today,
My
Les.
Pleasure. Thank
Alrighty.
You.
Bye.